Okay, it's the 13th, and we have a lot of odds and ends to do today. Okay, guys, let me get started. May 29th is the final. If you knock at the last day, that's it. After that, the end of this, there's no more classes, no more finals, no more nothing. So if you're not going to be here, contact me so we can make arrangements beforehand. There'll be specific questions on what everything since exam number 4. Options, futures, margining, shorting, and the others that we're going to cover today. No calcs from any here. None of the calcs. The calcs will be, I'll give you a study guide, a pre-final, which will, you know, you've already seen these calculations. The constant perpetual, discounted cash flow, bond valuations. 2 pages of notes, folks. Scantron calculator. General questions on everything else from the beginning of the semester. No class May 22nd, so we only have, after this, 2 more classes. Depending on how much we get done today, Thursday we could do a couple different things. There's a film that I like to show that's called The Trillion Dollar Bet. I don't know, I don't really like to watch movies. But or we could do a little bit of work, the stuff from Chapter 6, taking a look at Value Line and taking a look at two different companies, break into groups. Some people like that. Some people hate it. You like that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And depending on how much we get done today. And then next Tuesday, which is the last day, is Baffle the Broker. Anybody need to ask any questions at all about investments? Baffle the Broker. You can ask another question. I don't get how have that many questions. Anybody need a Baffle the Broker?
Extra
one? Ask me questions. Why is the sky blue? How do you make mayonnaise? No?
Is that what they want?
How do you make mayonnaise? Okay. all right. Now, on the back of the Chapter 2 handout is the retirement accounts, regular accounts, and real estate and real estate investment trust. So that's what we're going to do today. Anybody need one of these? I'm almost out. Okay, we need a good joke. Who's got a good joke? Anybody got a good joke? How about a Microsoft joke? You want a Microsoft joke?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, how about a Microsoft joke? All right, so this woman has been married 3 times already. Yeah, and they didn't work out. So she meets another guy, and he wants to marry her, and so it's their honeymoon, and she says, I know you're not going to believe me, but I'm still a virgin. And he says, oh, you don't have to play this game with me. I knew you were married 3. She says, no, you have to believe me. And he says, all right, well, what happened with the first guy? And she says, well, the first guy had a medical problem, and I wanted children, so that's why I divorced him. And he said, oh, what about the second guy? He said, well, the second guy, he turned out to be a homosexual. He wasn't interested in me. I wanted children, so that's why I divorced him. And he said, wow. So what about the third guy? Oh, my third husband was Bill Gates. And he says, so? And he said, well, we would just sit on the bed every night and he would tell me how good it was going to be. And the guy goes, well, I guess that makes sense. What would you expect from a guy who names his company Micro Soft?
I remember that from last
week. You remember that from last
week?
Okay.
Yeah.
It all came back in a flash. Did you figure it out? Do you like that one? I told that up I was at a conference up in near Silicon Valley. They loved it. They really loved it. Okay. So, we still, look at us. We're there. It's not going to let us get to zero, is it? It's not going to let us get back to zero. It's that one stock that's killing us. Well, it's a little late now, don't you think? You want to sell it now? Watch next week it jump 10%. So, look, one stinker, avoid large losses. But all the others did pretty well. I mean, even Costco's starting to kick up. But look at 3D printing, right, 3D printing. Yeah. It's going to be the future now. Who's going to make money off of it? That's always a good question. We don't know. So now we have some odds and ends to discuss. This is an introduction to investments course, and although we have concentrated on what are called securities, which is a silly name, but that's what they call them. Stocks, bonds, mutual funds, short-term investments, options, shorting and margining. There's a whole other world out there in terms of real estate. And it's a course unto itself. But I like to say that real estate is tricky. Real estate is tricky, which is a way to say that it's a real pain. And I must tell you, dear students, that after many years of having nothing to do with real estate, other than owning our own home, my wife, this was a long time ago, but she used to say, why are we investing in these pieces of paper? Now they're electronic blitz, right? That are worthless. I don't understand. Why don't we buy real estate? I said, because we can't keep our own house together. we're going to buy another house and rent it out and hope that they don't destroy it. And she finally came around to my way of thinking after I showed her how good stocks can do and how badly they can do. Whenever she would ask, you know, during the market downturns, whenever she'd say, well, how are we doing? I said, well, you know, it's volatile. What does that mean? It's volatile. It goes up, it goes down. I don't want to tell you how much we really lost. Okay. But it came back so far. Why?
You never, like, told her?
Oh, no. She knew we lost money, but I never told her exactly how much. Usually, I don't even want to look myself. Because you don't want to look. And then you look and you're, But, you know, you see, the world does end. What difference does it make? But in 2009, real estate had fallen so far in so many areas, especially Chula Vista, that I turned around and said, hey, Anita, that's my wife's name, you want to take a look at maybe buying a duplex? And she said, you finally got me to feel comfortable with stocks. And so we started looking, and we actually wound up with a pretty decent property. So I can say now that I used to tell people I have no experience whatsoever other than buying my own house. But now I do have an experience, and I got to tell you, it is a real pain in the butt. Real pain in the butt. But it's been so far so good. There are two ways to invest in real estate. And the one that most people think of when they think of real... I'm sorry? No money down. Wrong. Not anymore. Not anymore. Oh, unless... How can you buy a house with no money down, folks? Be in the join the army, right? VA, Veterans Benefits, Veterans Administration, and you can buy a house with no money down. Are pretty darn close. You have to come up with something, don't you? A few thousand. No closing costs. You can roll them into the loan. Wow, that's a pretty sweet deal, dear students. Join. You just have to be in the military. Honorable discharge, right?
Yeah.
You have to have an honorable discharge. You can't be booted out for telling the commanding officer exactly what you believe, which is all of it's true, but you can't tell him or her. Okay. So direct investments are how we think of investments. And many of you are going to buy your own home. So if anybody said to you, well, why do you invest in stocks? Why don't you invest in real estate? Well, I am. I have my own home, so I have some diversification. We have a home, or maybe it's single. The fastest growing segment of the population that is buying new homes, or old homes, or buying homes, are single women. Single women, exactly. Single women, right? We already have the machines to do the work that men used to do, and now the women eventually figure out a way to, you know, get rid of men, artificial sperm or whatever, and then women won't need men anymore. Guys, they're on to us. We're in trouble. And so you'll have your home, and then you'll have your mutual funds or your individual stocks. So you'll have some measure of diversification. Some people, especially when housing is going up, they like to have a vacation home. Now, a vacation home is not a rental property. Depending on how often you rent it, the IRS has certain rules. But what's happening now is more and more people are taking advantage of this service. And it's not the only one, but it's the one that's getting them. Airbnb. Have you heard of it? Yeah, these people are using their own homes or maybe a vacation home and renting it out without, you don't have to worry about the, you know, advertising. It's all done via these websites. What? Flip key is a vending machine? I don't know. All I heard of was Airbnb. And it's getting very popular. And, of course, now the IRS is, oh, excuse us. And then and the local municipalities are saying, excuse us, because the San Diego area makes a lot of money off of what are called transient occupancy tax, which is a sales tax on hotel rooms. So it's really interesting what's going on, and it's not like San Diego is a very desirable vacation spot. But this is the one that we're going to concentrate on, and it's a whole course unto itself, rental property. Because that's what most people who start investing in real estate, other than their own home, are going to do. They're going to buy a single condo or a duplex or a nice house. But the one that can make you the most amount of money is undeveloped land. It is also the riskiest. I do not recommend it, especially here in San Diego. It's going to be a fortune unless you look in the paper and see, oh, wow, look, there's 20 acres. It's out by, where, Brawley? Where is that? Anyway, it's being sold at auction, and I can buy it for, $7,000 for 20 acres, and it's going to be worth millions someday, maybe 100 years from now. Because what you're trying to do is you're trying to anticipate where the city is going and where the development is going. You think you're going to be able to pull that off here in San Diego? No. There are sharks here, folks. It is one of the most competitive real estate environments in the country, certainly, and maybe even in the world. And so I suggest to you to stay far away from undeveloped land unless you want to get involved in the entire industry as a whole, and then maybe work as a property manager, get your rentals. But this is dangerous. This is really dangerous. What people do is they go out and buy that land at auction, maybe, because the taxes haven't been paid in 10 years. And then they pay the taxes for a few years. They're not getting any cash flow. And there's no way economically, or maybe zoning, they can't even develop it. And unless you're going to get somebody to pitch a tent on there and charge them rent, you're not getting any money in. You see? No cash flow. So after a few years, they stop paying the taxes, and then a couple of years later, the county sells it at auction for some other poor slob who thinks they're going to be able to develop this land. So stay away. There's a saying in the industry, never invest in dirt. In dirt. But obviously somebody has to do it, right? Somebody has to do it, but it won't be you or me until...
Unless,
You need a lot of. Did you say? Do you make a lot of money?
You need a
ton of money. Plus, you need lawyers and CPAs, and you need people who can navigate the zoning laws and the permits. And yeah, no, it's something that you may get in the industry and work at a company that does it, but you got to know it. You got to know it's an option, and you have to know that it's the most profitable, but also the most riskiest option in real estate. What?
Still all too much.
It's all too much.
Yeah.
For San Diego. But what if you were to move to Youngstown, Ohio? Then it's within the individual investor's reach.
My family, we own like 600 acres.
Where? In Wisconsin.
And then we're just lucky that there's a quarry on our land. And so the county pays.
So you're getting cash flow. So they own 600 acres in Wisconsin. Is it anywhere near any urban areas?
20 miles west of Madison.
Is Madison expanding to the west?
Yeah.
So you see what's happening? If Madison, which is a pretty popular college town, what's the big university there?
UW-Madison.
UW, University of Wisconsin-Madison. So it's a big college town. And if the city expands to the west, their acreage is going to be starting to... Yeah, increase in value. Plus, they have a quarry that is bringing in some cash flow. But, here it's just impossible. Forget it. You're up against very, very well capitalized, which means they have a lot of money, very experienced, and they have insider. McMillan got the deal to redevelop the Naval Training Center. And it was not even the best deal. Another company from, this was what, 14 years ago, 15 years ago? Another company from Florida had put together a better deal, and the city took McMillan's. Yeah, right. Okay, fine. Now, for many of us, we will invest in real estate through indirect methods. Here, your name's on the title, you're responsible, but here, no, somebody else is dealing with the issues. And the most popular ones, and certainly the easiest, I believe, are REITs, Real Estate Investment Trusts. And we've touched on these things before. We saw a few mutual funds that invested in REITs. And they are the entities. They're not corporations, so they're really not stocks. But to you and me, as individual investors, they look like stocks. They look like a stock. They trade on the exchange. They pay dividends. No, they don't. They pay fees from operations, which are legally different from dividends. But when you look on the website, it says dividends, you know, dividend yield. They are the entities that hold the warehouses and the shopping centers and the malls and the apartment complexes. And they maintain, build, sell the properties, bring in the rent and any capital gains when they sell, and then they pass through, like a mutual fund, they are required by law to pass through not 100%, I think it's 95 or 90%. They can hang on to some of the earnings, like a corporation, but the corporation can hang on to all the earnings, not the real estate investment trust. They have to pass through at least 95% of the gains to the investors. For some savvy investors, you might look into a partnership or a syndicate. I don't like that word, syndicate, but that's what they're called. And they are at a disadvantage now because of the 1986 tax reform bill, which separated passive and active income. So these are people who usually are already in the game, and they have losses associated with real estate, and then they can offset those by gains. So for most of us, we'll stay out of those. Once you're making buku bucks, you might want to invest in tax credits. Huh? These are low-income housing projects and others, gas and oil partnerships. And you don't receive any income at first. Instead, you receive tax credits, which allow you to reduce your taxes. Now, who do you think that's going to be? Is that going to be for you and me, most of us working grunts? Hopefully someday you'll be making $400,000 or $500,000 a year and you'll need some tax credits. Hopefully by then the whole tax law will be changed, but I doubt it. And then equity sharing. This is actually not a bad deal, especially if you can keep it in the family, because it tends to solidify the familial relationships. But one of the hardest things for people to do when they buy a house is come up with a down payment, especially now when they're asking for 20%, 25% for non-owner-occupied rental property. So you're the young couple and you need $30,000, $40,000 to buy a $300,000 condo. You go to your folks, parents, maybe grandparents, and they come up with the down payment. It doesn't have to be families. It could be a business relationship. There are people who are looking for equity sharing positions. And then you live in the house, the younger couple usually, or the single female who's decided she doesn't need a guy, and make the payments, keep the house up, property taxes and the like. And now as the property increases in value, you share in the appreciation, equity sharing, share in the appreciation. So eventually, let's say in 10 years, it's worth $400,000, maybe sooner, who knows. Now, this couple or the single person has $50,000 worth of equity. They've also been paying down the loan. And the investor has $50,000 of equity. So what often happens is the place is sold. They buy something else. Maybe they have two kids now. They want something bigger. They're able to use that for their down payment for the new house. The investors get their $50,000 plus their $40,000 back. Understand? Make sense? Yeah or no? And so it's not a bad thing to do when housing prices are appreciating, which they normally do, except in 2009 and 8 and 9, 10 and 11 and 12. Now they seem to be going back up, and the real estate agents are jumping up and down. And yay, it's all Do you think you... What?
They're starting to come out from their holes.
I'm not thoroughly convinced, personally, but whatever, that's worse. But I think we still have another bump or two along the line because it's still pretty fragile. I mean, we suffered a serious heart attack. And then there's a group of investors who go after people who can't get a mortgage from a bank or a credit union or a mortgage company. So you will go after these people and you will play the position of the bank. It has a name called hard money. What do you think of that name? Do you like that? Hard money? Instead of paying 4.5%, 5% for a loan, they're going to pay you 8%, 9%, 10%, maybe 11%, maybe 12%. Do you think you're going to get your cash? But your name's on the title, so you have to go through the foreclosure proceedings. You have to take possession of the home. Do you think it's something you want to do? Some people want to do it. I don't. I don't have anything to do with it. But knowledge about syphilis is not an instruction to go get it. So just so you understand that there are people out there doing this, because the credit unions, the banks, if they turn down somebody, it's because they know, you know, forget it. This person's not going to come through. The most common investment on commercial property is a duplex or a small fourplex or whatever. But it also includes hotels, office buildings, stores, many other types of commercial establishments. But San Diego, folks, it's just insane. You know, the prices. You think residential rates are high. But in 1999, say you bought a condominium in San Ysidro, it was selling for $90,000, right? 2007, it was selling for $280,000 or $300,000. You bought a nice East Lake home up on the hill for $300,000 in 1999. 2007, it was selling for $900,000. 1.1 or someplace. It was by the golf course or someplace. I wouldn't want to live by a golf course with balls going through the window. Anyway, you get free golf balls if you want. But commercial property skyrocketed. A downtown San Diego storefront in 98-99 was selling for about $1 million, more or less, you know. By 2008, they were selling for $8 or $9 million. Wow. $8 or $9 million. That's insane. And my buddy, who's a much more aggressive investor than I, or at least he used to be, and I tried many times to not, he was running around trying to get people to buy this downtown Ocean Beach on Newport. There's a hotel that's now an international hostel. You have to have an international, have you seen it? You have to have an international passport. It's mostly younger folks from all over the world. And it was selling, I forget the number, it was $440,000 or $470,000. Needed a lot of work, for a few hundred thousand dollars worth of work to fix it up, to bring it into code. But he was trying to get people, because he didn't have the cash, to put together a bid and buy this place. I don't have nothing to do with it, no thank you. I'm getting my broker's license, my stockbroker's license. I'm interested in stocks. By 2007, that place would have sold for about $3.5-4 million. Yeah. Damn. He was absolutely right, but he didn't have the cash to do it. So prices became untouchable. But in 2008-9, after the turmoil, there were many, many choices. And now it's a lot harder. It's a lot harder to find good places. But the rule of thumb is 7 to 10 times rent. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? Say you can rent out a place for $2,500 a month. What? Why? A house. Say it's a house for $2,500. You can't? Well, I'm just saying if you could rent it out. Okay, I'm just trying to come up with a number here.
It's just an example.
It's an example. I wouldn't do it. I'm with you. I'd rather buy. If I'm in that position where I could spend $2,500, but who knows? Maybe you're living there for just a year. You're in the military. You know next year you're going to be gone. Doesn't make sense.
Like my parents, they're like, our old house, we're renting it out for like $2,700. There's a bunch of people there.
$2,700? Where?
In
There you go. See, somebody's out there. That's why there's chocolate and vanilla, and some people like strawberry. You know, I know everybody's different. So that's $30,000 a year. You with me? How many months in a year?
Yeah.
Good. Got it. All right. So that means you would be willing to pay $300,000 for that property. $300,000 in San Diego? That gets you a condo that you could rent for maybe $1,600, $1,700, right? So 7 to 10 times rent in San Diego, you're going to be really hard-pressed to find that. But in Youngstown, Ohio, or in Madison, Wisconsin, how much could you rent a $300,000 house for there?
Not much.
Really? Not much?
Because it's the colleges, and it's one of the best places to live in the country.
So a $300,000 house is a mansion, right? It's not. See, I don't know the Midwest at all. Really?
Like if you move like 30 miles west.
30 miles away, then you get a mansion.
Madison is one of the most desirable
places. Oh, okay, so I don't know Madison at all.
So it's like, that's like a
Canada South.
What? Well, I just saw an article today. It said you could buy 12 and a half houses in Youngstown, Ohio for one house in San Jose, California. Okay.
I guess I'm moving out of California.
It's tough. I know people have done it. So you're going to be hard-pressed to find that. But in 2009, 2010, they were out there. But the problem was trying to get the banks to even respond to you. We would put in a bid. This was, you know, August 2009. And they wouldn't even respond. Or one bank said, well, thank you. We'll get back to you in mid-December. What? This is what they were doing, yeah.
What about buying for?
That's what we were buying. That's what we were looking at. There were scads of foreclosures all over the place. It was just a few years ago. They're not there anymore. And they were paying, you could figure, I could rent that for, that's 7 to 10 times rent. And that's a good deal. That's a good deal because it's not as though San Diego is becoming less desirable. Have you ever been through a winter in Buffalo, New York? I never have. I don't want to. But I grew up in Philadelphia. You ever been to Philadelphia? You're not missing anything. The food's good. The food is good. I must say, the food is good. It's relative, not in town, but yeah, outside of town, it's great. Yeah. Cheese steaks, hoagies, pizza's great. They look at California and they just go, oh, gross. So I tell them, we put walnuts on pizza out here. They go, oh, God. Walnuts on pizza or pears. What the hell are you doing putting a pear on a pizza? What? What?
Hippies.
I missed that one. Yeah, but no, that my brother comes out here and goes, you people are really weird. You are really strange.
I kind of know this.
Where? Here?
Yeah.
They don't understand it. Okay, but if you're so inclined, you know, South Bay is where the great bargains are. Now, fixer-uppers, again, are smart moves if you know how to fix toilets and hang drywall and the like. But again, San Diego is very difficult. Concentrate on smaller properties first. How about a duplex? You live in one. Rent out the other one? Not a bad idea. Look for low down payments and seller financing of rundown properties because banks usually do not want to loan to distressed properties during normal times. So what does that mean? If an owner has let the place fall apart, they don't care, they're going to be retiring, they just want to sell, you go to them and say, look, I'll buy it, but I want you to be the bank. You be the bank, you take back the loan as it's saying, they basically write out a promissory note, get a lawyer to do all it, and you or a mortgage company will do it for you, a mortgage broker will do it for you, and then you pay them the mortgage. Because banks don't want rundown properties, unless they're on their books, which means they wound up with the bank wound up with the real estate, and then they want to get rid of it during normal times. In 2009, 10, 11, there were so many. There were tens of thousands. Some people said hundreds of thousands of these things across the country that they just didn't even want to discuss it. Go away. We're working as fast as we can. And my advice, for what it's worth, is to avoid property managers. Not because I don't think there are any good property managers out there, but who cares about your property more than you? Nobody. Plus, they're going to take 10% of the rent. So they're going to take $250. That's typical. It could be less, could be more. So, no thank you. One good thing is that I think is to get a job as a property manager. You know, work as a property management company, in a property management company, and you'll really learn the ropes from the inside out. Most importantly, are you savvy dealing with repairs, and are you savvy dealing with renters? Because fixing a tenant is just as important as fixing a toilet. One bad tenant can send you back thousands. Any horror stories?
Yeah.
Let's hear one.
5 months.
Kneecaps. You know, you break the kneecaps. It's usually... yes. Horror stories.
I've mentioned this before, but my dad rented out to these people in a home in Benin, and they had, like, boarded the inside of the window, like, a wall. I'm not really sure. It was, like, really pretty, too. It was...
Not anymore. Yeah. Yeah, not anymore. Yeah. Cats, dogs, birds. Birds are really destructive. They eat the wood. They eat all the they go around, they crack the wood open and they chew it apart. Bizarre. This guy is a lot of fun to read. He's written several books. Investing in Fixer Uppers. I can't fix anything, folks. I use the telephone to fix things. Oscar, Jose, Rolf, Joyce. What's his name? Joyce, not Joyce. Yeesh. Jason, help! You know, go there, let's get it fixed. But he is the kind of person who fixes things on his own. He can fix toilets and the like. And he did this one great thing. I laughed for weeks. I think about it. The house was settling. That's the foundation was settling. It happened. So when he replaced the windows and doors, what did he do? He tilted them away from the settle, so now the house looks straight up and down. You understand? The house was settling. It's happened. And the foundation, now if it happens seriously, you have to fix it. But if it's not that serious, the house just looks like it's on its side. So when he replaced the windows and the doors, he just tilted everything, tilted the windows and the doors, so then now it looks up and down.
You have to disclose it, right?
I don't know. I guess you have to disclose it if you sell, yeah.
Isn't that dangerous, though? Because, like, I mean, something happened, can't be sued for,
like... I guess if you disclose it, yeah. If you tell them, hey, it's settling.
If you disclose it, like...
If you say, the foundation is settling, yeah. Well, they can get sued. But it's nothing new. The Leaning Tower of Pisa, folks... Look at the Leaning Tower of Pisa. The Italian engineers, as soon as they started building it, it started leaning. So the top is, as soon as they started building it, it started leaning. So the top is turned the other way. If you just take a close look at it. Didn't work, though. Okay. Real estate investment trusts. Now, as we said, there it is, 95%. These are kind of like a mutual fund, but instead of investing in stocks and bonds and short-term securities, they invest in real estate. Shopping centers, office buildings. The management typically fees range between 1 and 2%, kind of like a mutual fund. And their long-term return has been 7 or 8%. And these have been, in fact, one of them, but they got purchased. These have been pretty good to me. I've been happy with them. But right now, I think they're way too expensive. Right now, because real estate in general has done very well with commercial. Oh, okay, so the price has gone down. It's up to 5%. I like to buy these, or I did in the past, when it was 7, 8, 9%. Now, notice they say dividend and yield. They're not dividends. They're called FFOs, fees from operation. They don't have the same tax advantages that dividends have. You're taxed at your marginal rate as opposed to the capital gains rate, but it's not a big deal. But this is one that's actually based right here in San Diego called Realty Income Corporation. And either the price went down or the Lucas P is still high. No, I wouldn't. Right now, I would not buy these. Timeliness, as they say. But another company that's called Kimco is one of the biggest ones in the country. And there's only 4%. Look at the PE. No, I think they're way too expensive now. And this is from people just searching for yield, because bonds are paying a lot lower than normally. So these real estate investment trust investors are saying, oh, well, I could get 3% from a bond, or I get 4% from a real estate investment trust. So right now, I wouldn't buy them. But one of my best ones was Pan Pacific, which is based in Vista. And it did. It's a real estate investment trust. This is when you invest. This was 98. And I'm in the brokerage firm that I just got my broker's license, yay. And this one woman investor said, I said, look at this one. This is based here. And she wasn't my client. We were just talking. And the other broker, my boss, was there. And I said, this is a really, really well-run REIT based in Vista, based here in San Diego. And they're expanding on the East Coast. They have low vacancy rate, which is good. You know, you don't want real estate just sitting there. And she just said, why would anybody invest in a REIT now? In 5 years, all the shopping centers will be closed because you'll be buying everything over the internet. And I'm like, yeah, right, okay. Sure, lady. This is a good time to buy them. And it turned out it was a great time. But, I don't want to tell you I was a genius or anything. I never thought it would do as well as it did. It did really, really well. Okay, so what are the advantages of real estate investments? They're a hedge against inflation, and we get to use financial leverage. There's that word again, financial leverage. The use of borrowed funds for investment purchases, which allows you to buy a more expensive property than you could do on your own. Because if you remember margining, we had to put up 50%. With real estate, well, during the housing bubble, they were asking for 10%, but now it's 25%. For a $300,000 property, they want $75,000. That's 25%. Plus the closing costs of, 10 or 11, 12 grand. And so, but as it goes up, just like we did in chapter 2, your gain is magnified. But if it goes down, your losses are magnified. And in 2008, people would say, aren't you worried about, don't you feel bad about stocks going down? I'm not happy about it. But I feel really bad for the real estate investors, because their entire investment is gone. Everything is gone. And it ain't coming back anytime soon. Plus, they still owe an extra $100,000 more than the house could be sold for. So now if they get in trouble, what are they going to do? They'll walk away or drop off the keys or try to organize a short sale, which means that you go to the bank and say, I got somebody who will pay $300,000 for it. I know I owe $400,000. Will you let it to be sold? And the bank goes, all right. Because it's going to cost them less than if you let it go to foreclosure. But what some people were doing, and these are the people who need their kneecaps broken, they were simply not making the payments on the mortgage and collecting the rent from the renters. Anything illegal about that? No. Nothing illegal. And the renters never knew anything, never knew what was going on, until after 2 years, finally the bank, or 3 years, bank got around to foreclosing, and they sent the renters a letter saying, we have foreclosed on the property, you have 30 days or 60 days to vacate, here's a check for
$3,000. I think it's a bank fault, right? In the note, they write it off, it's like,
I don't know. Whoa, slow it again. Say it again.
So the bank has to know their property, but there's a lot of properties that they are.
There were hundreds of thousands of properties in this situation. And what many landlords were doing was just stop paying and collecting the rent and waiting for the bank to get around to foreclose, because they knew it was going to take 2 or 3 years.
Oh.
And eventually they foreclosed, and the renters were kicked out, But a lot of the banks, what they did is they sent him a check for $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000. The renters, to the renter, to say, we're sorry about how things have turned out. This will help you move. Because they didn't want them to trash in the place. What would you do? If you're the renter, wouldn't you want to kill that landlord? I think killing is too good. Removing their kneecaps, I think that would be appropriate. But you can't find them. They're gone. So what are you going to do? You're going to take it out on the house. You're going to trash that. What?
Like cement in the toilet.
Cement in the toilet. I never heard that. Where did you hear that one from?
No.
Cement in the toilet. Oh, my God. From what?
They do it. A lot of people do it. So it like seizes up all those.
I can imagine what it does. I can begin to imagine how bad that is.
It's like 20,000.
Easily. Because you have to rip out all the plumbing.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness! Oh no, thank genius! Yeah, thank genius. So that's why the banks were giving the renters $3,000, $4,000 to leave because they.
When they replaced the plumbing, people might break into the house and steal all the
copper. Right. Well, this is not happening anymore. But if I don't know if you remember, but just about 4 or 5 years ago, this is what was going on, and there were houses you could tell were abandoned. And so what I told young folks, I wouldn't do it now. Maybe if I were young, I would do it. Maybe you millennials, you're young, what do you care? You're not married, you don't have kids. Call up the bank. Find out who owns the property. Call up the bank and say, I live down the street from this address, and that place is vacant, and it looks like an eyesore, and you've got to fix it up. And they'll say, yes, we're getting around to it. And what they'll do is they'll hire a property management company who'll come out and mow the lawns and put the glass back in and turn lights on, have lights, they set these lights on to go on and off at times and try to make it look like somebody's living in there. But some of them didn't. They had so many properties and it would do. So if they didn't, within, 6 weeks, 2 months, move in. Change the locks, fix the windows, hopefully the copper's still there. And you're doing the bank a favor. Aren't you? Right? Yes. Now, when they find out, they're probably going to send a marshal to evict you, and you say, thank you very much, sir, I'm leaving.
There were some municipalities that were putting pressure on banks to basically say, because they, I don't think they got a second or third time of just signing papers off.
Yeah. It was called robo-signing.
They were basically asking them if the owner really left the house, and then they were in your state, saying you can't have an house anywhere.
Right. Yeah, so some municipalities were doing this. Other banks were letting it go tacitly. Now they, meaning, okay, we're not going to let you live there, but you live there, we won't say anything. Now, there's a certain amount of time that if you let somebody live on your property, a certain amount of time, it's called squatter's rights, and I'm not a lawyer. Talk to Elizabeth Shapiro. Talk to Mr. Devine. Anybody have Professor Devine? To sit right in the front. But he's brilliant. The guy's brilliant. So talk to the lawyers. Don't talk to me. I know how to get around things without doing it legally. Okay. And so easy entry, easy exit for REITs. And you can't check your price of the real estate investments every day on the internet, which is what, some people say, I'm in it for the long term. And what do they do? They're running to the computer looking, oh, it's gone down 25 cents. What do I do? What do I do? Real estate, things don't work that way. What are the disadvantages? Liquidity. Real estate is unlike stocks, bonds, mutual funds because it takes 3, 6, 9 months to sell your property. Diversification. You own a property, one property. Maybe eventually you buy a second property. But you can't get the kind of diversification you can with stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. But REITs, partnerships, syndicates, they do offer diversification. We talked about the passive tax shelter, and I won't get into that in detail, but it can be a problem. But it's usually something that wealthy individuals have to worry about. And then the PETA factor that we've already talked to, people destroying the place, and property values can decline. Your home. As we said, most of you are going to buy a home eventually, scrape together the down payment. And homes have done pretty well, folks. All in all, they've traditionally been a 2.5% above inflation, some places more, like San Diego. And there are serious tax advantages that we discussed in the 121 class. Plus, if you're single, you buy your home, hold it for 2 years, you can sell it for $250,000 more than you paid for it, and pay no capital gains taxes. Now, this has to be your principal residence. If you're married, double it. So that means you could buy a house for $200,000, sell for $700,000 if you're married, and pay no capital gains taxes. But in my humble opinion, it's a home first, an investment second. Other people disagree. They're usually real estate agents. Oh, no, you're going to buy in this area right here, and that's the area that's appreciating the fastest. And in 4 or 5 years, you're going to move, right, so I can get another commission. And you're going to buy a house over here, and then that's going to appreciate. In 4 or 5 years, you're going to sell a house so I can get another commission. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Shouldn't your first house or investment, you're going to call it, should be a duplex so that way you can get the money back?
I agree. I like duplexes. I like duplexes because you can live in one and rent out the other. Plus, you have if you don't live in them, you have a built-in spy. You know, you got one, if one, unless they're both Yahoos, but if one one household is throwing parties at 2 a.m. in the morning and driving the motorcycle in the living room, the other one's going to call and say, do you know what's going on here? He's like, great, thank you for telling me. So I like duplexes for that reason. But, no, you don't like that?
I had a worse.
They were both Yahoos.
A lot of problems.
And you never knew it?
Yeah, we do. Oh,
you called the cop? You didn't call the landlord?
We called the landlord.
Landlord didn't care.
Even roaches, big ass roaches.
Big ass roaches.
My mother-in-law always had to wake me up because we couldn't reach them. They had, she drinks a lot of medicine and she's disabled.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
And he wakes me up in the middle of the night and tell him to kill them.
Kill the big roaches, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm sorry to hear that because the landlord obviously is derelict. Didn't do anything. Our landlord was derelict. Maybe he wasn't even making the payments.
He was collecting the rent and upstairs them, she'd have to do whatever the hell.
Ugh.
They destroyed that house.
Okay. This is what you're going to hear people say, especially people who have never taken business 123, never invested anything. But my house is the best investment I've ever made. Of course, exactly. It's the only investment they've ever made. Except for that penny stock my brother-in-law, the ex-stockbroker, I mean to buy. Well, that stuff's worthless now. And those gold coins I bought way back when the Gulf War started, back in 1991. What'd I do with those things? Hopefully they're still in the deposit box. A bottom line, in my humble opinion, a house is a home first, an investment second. But what about San Diego? Yes, San Diego is a very, very unusual situation. We don't have a lot of industry here, folks, but we have a lot of people who want to live here. So housing is very expensive relative to what you earn. Now, you go to a place like New York, and housing's a fortune, but you make a whole lot more money, or Chicago, or San Francisco, or L.A., but not here. They seem to have hit bottom. The real estate agents certainly think so. But if you plan on staying here, by all means, buy whatever you can afford. And I think two of the most affordable and best places to live are San Ysidro and National City, and people think I'm absolutely insane.
Nasty City,
San Yo, Skid Row. I think they're great. They're walkable communities. You can walk to the bank, the ice cream shop. Walk to the bank, walk to the post office, walk to the library. What? You walk to the bank and get shot? Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I ride my bike through Barrio Logan, through National City on the way here, and people go, no, it's too hilly. Stay along Harbor Drive and then, you know. And people go, you ride there? Well, aren't you afraid? I say, oh, it's dangerous. There's houses and cars and kids and shopping centers. It's really, really good. Yeah, have you seen underneath the Coronado Bay Bridge with Northgate Market? What? Yeah, and it's about, I think they already have. Plus, it's so close to downtown. National City is really close to downtown. You got the trolley, you're downtown. But don't expect to happen in the 2002 to 2007. It's not going to repeat itself for quite some time. But someday it will repeat itself. Someday people will get stupid again and think that housing will never go down. Someday people think stocks will never go down again. And I saw this in 1993, and I laughed and just had a great time with this woman talking to her. She was up in North County. This was over a desk. I was working for something. I forget exactly what I was doing, but it said, "Please, God, let there be another real estate boom, and I promise I won't piss it all away this time." Yeah, right. Do you think she pissed it away all in 2000? Yeah, probably. Okay, come on, admit it, Piano. Real estate is the perfect investment. Look at what's happened in the past 5 years. This is what you were hearing in 2005 and 6. Beware the permanent trend. You remember that one? Permanent trend. I can't take credit for that. It's Andrew Tobias. I love it. It's like jumbo shrimp or straight curve. There's no such thing as a permanent trend. Real estate, stocks, gold, everything moves up and down in cycles. Ask those who bought in 90 and sold in 94, because prices did go down about 20% then. And ask those who bought in 2006 are still trying to unload that flipper condo before the bank forecloses. Oops, too late. Better luck next time. But if you plan to hold for the long term, you should do well. And by the way, what I think, I hope I've shown throughout the entire semester is that there is no perfect investment, right? There is no perfect investment. Folks were saying the same things back in 1999 about stocks. Perfect investment, internet, blue skies, productivity gains. Yes. But what about leverage, huh? What about the ability to make money with other people's money? We already discussed leverage, haven't we? But isn't that what makes real estate such a great investment? Well, yes, but there are pitfalls. Just as with margining stocks, leveraging real estate magnifies your gains and magnifies your losses. Now, I forgot to make the copies of the worksheet. Oops. So we'll do that later. Wait a minute. Did you say there are no capital gains taxes on real estate? Currently, as the tax law stands, as long as your real estate is your primary residence, for two out of the last 5 years, you pay no capital gains tax on the first $250,000 or $500,000. So you can rent out the place for 20 years and then live in it for 2 years, no capital gains. Pretty amazing. Capital losses, by the way, on your primary residence are not tax deductible. So buy your home for $200,000, sell for $700,000. If you're married, what a deal. Have you seen the ads? We're almost done. Start your real estate empire with no money down. You too can take advantage of the tremendous opportunities now in the wide open real estate foreclosure market. Just buy our guaranteed Surefire Real Estate Investment Kit for only $395, or better yet, take our 2-day seminar, only $3,995, and you will be on your way toward riches beyond your wildest dreams. And don't worry about putting it on your credit card, folks, because within a month, 2 months at the latest, you'll be able to pay off that credit card and all the other credit cards, and you will be rich, rich, rich. And when that doesn't work, by the way, we'll sell you the $9,995 5-day super secret seminar. Do you think I could make a lot of money if I didn't have any ethics? Absolutely. I think I could, yeah. Okay. So, my advice in real estate, buy a house, make it your home. After you've digested that purchase, then look for some rental property. But learn as much as you can from folks who are already doing it. Great. This is what I would do now that I'm, you know, now that I'm seeing it, the real estate industry. If I were 30 years younger, I would try to get a job as a property manager and understand the world from the inside out. My advice, for what it's worth. Okay, questions on real estate?
Would it be direct if it was flipping the house?
Yeah, your name would be on the title. And then you would want to flip it. You'd want to turn it around.
Is
yeah.
Legal flipping too, like?
No, you know, I don't think so. I really don't think so. You might think so, but I don't think so. Because it was a flipper's paradise, because they were building these condos as fast as they could. You could buy the condo before it was even built, put $30,000 down. 9 months later, 10 months later, when people were ready to move in, you could sell it for $100,000 or $50,000 or $80,000 more. So you made $80,000 on a $30,000 investment in less than a year. Now, how long is that going to last?
Not very long.
No, because everybody would be doing it, and they'd have to build until there was... You know. So many of those condos are still sitting empty downtown, those high-rise condos. They'll buy it, they'll sell them to you. That one in National City, they converted from a hotel.
Oh, yeah.
They'll sell them to you, no problem. And I think the windows are like this big. You get a bay view, but you got to stand on the chair and look down. I mean, doesn't it look like that? I've never bothered to go in and look. I often have wanted to act like I'm interested. No. I do not want a condo. Okay. Good. What? You went there?
With the condom?
I went there. I didn't go there. What do real estate and reproduction have to do with one another?